Hey, what up, boxing fans? This is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Tuesday night. Hope everybody had a good weekend. I know I had a busy ass weekend, I'll tell you that, but we're going to start in the ring, per usual. Did Richardson Hitchens win that fight? Did he win the fight? That's a fair question. Fair question. He was definitely tested. One of those scorecards was definitely bad, horrible. I do think that there probably should be a rematch. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it along with, Pacheco got a good test. Sky Nicholson did her thing. We'll talk a variety about that DAZN card a little bit here to start out with. And then this weekend, we do have Jared Anderson and company. Two heavyweights top the card on ESPN. And then Pro Box tomorrow. Kind of an interesting fight that we'll talk about. Variety of items as far as the fight news starts. Hold on. Okay. I'm pretty sure. Wow, that was really weird. It just. All right. I think I'm okay. Huh. That was really weird. Sorry. My internet just looked like it dropped, but then it looks like it's okay. Anyway, we did get two separate undercards that a lot of folks like undercard announcements for Canelo Munguia and also Haney and Garcia. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We have some information about the tickets for Haney Garcia too. Some good news for the fans. We'll kind of cover some other stuff, of course, current fight news and of course, the boxing Twitter segment, Dalton Smith and Adam Azim, that kind of drama that's going on there. I can kind of understand, Eddie Hearn's side in this. But in the end, it just, I don't know. I don't think it's real drama. Like I said, I can understand some of the stuff Eddie's saying. We'll dig into it a little bit, but I don't know. To me, it just doesn't feel like they're on the same level, especially after Dalton's last fight, really good win. So we'll get into it. Another one, a question out there. Who will fight Boots? Ennis. I mean, what's going on? Like, we got to get him a fight. It does sound like he does have a fight line, or well, I don't know if it's lined up, but there is a date or whatever. But it'd be nice to get his career on track. It'll be interesting to find out who he's going to fight, and also if he, if he signed with Al Haymon or not, because we know that, was it last week or the week before we discussed, how he did settle out of court. So, we'll see where that takes us. So yeah, there's, like I said, current fight news and whatnot. If this is your first time listening to the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on Blog Talk, blogtalkradio.com. Oh, hold on, man, what is going on? I hope that I'm pretty sure this thing's still going. Anyway, sorry, where was I? Oh yeah, blogtalkradio.com. /Rope-A-Dope Radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk or Rope-A-Dope and download the show directly there. If you don't want to, you can find this here podcast, Rope-A-Dope Radio, under Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Download the podcast app, Google Podcasts, Player FM, and a host of other places. Just Google Rope-A-Dope Radio. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com, Eastside Boxing, and Phil Boxing. One more thing, one more message, I should say, from DirecTV Stream. So the women's and the men's college basketball tournament is done. And, obviously boxing fans tune into boxing now even more, right? And the NBA is starting to wind down here as far as the regular season. And, the playoffs are right around the corner. But the MLB's kicked it. Home field advantage with DirecTV Stream. DirecTV Stream carries the most local MLB games. So play ball for a limited time, $98.99 a month for your first 3 months when you sign up for a DirecTV Stream and get the choice package. The first month of DirecTV Sports Pack is on us if you sign up. That's a savings of $15, basically, right? $14.99. Choose the DirecTV streaming package that's right for you. There's no annual contracts, no hidden fees. For a limited time, save $30 even on the Entertainment Plus Sports Pack. $84.98 a month for 3 months. Check it out. DirecTV Stream. Okay. So I think my internet's settled here. That's the only thing about recording it on this. Rather than doing it on the live, I can't really. Yeah, I think we're good. I was gonna say I can't really have people, text me and say, "Hey, I can hear you" or whatever. So this is gonna be a shorter show. I know I've said that before, and then it goes long or whatever. But it is gonna be that. John is really busy right now with his law firm stuff. So he's not going to be able to call in. And quite honestly, we had an okay weekend. We got an okay weekend coming up, but it's not like we're kind of in a little dead zone. But, that fight with Hitchens and Lamaze, like I said, that scorecard was really bad. That 117-111, right? 9-3. That was ridiculous. Let's break this thing down. I thought Hitchens lost the first two rounds, and I thought it was pretty clean. Lemos, is it Lemos? He was bringing the pressure. He was working the body. Gustavo was, and there was a late overhand right that, kind of sealed the deal. It was more like jabs and right hands for Hitchens, but if you didn't think he was doing enough, that overhand right for me definitely did it. Then, he went right back to the body early, landed hooks to the head as well in the second round. Another big, right hand. And you saw Hitchens holding and getting backed on the ropes very early. It didn't seem like it was a 20 by 20 ring, but it is what it is. He should have talked to his promoter. But then I thought Hitchens by the third round, I don't know. He kind of, his jab and movement were pretty good. He was still holding way too much, but whether it was jab or the holding, well, and of course the movement too. I did. It was tougher to land clean in the third round. The fourth round was close. It was a little bit of the first two rounds in the third. It was kind of a weird round that could have went either way. I did give the fifth, sixth, and seventh to Hitchens though. I just thought he was finally like landing better and not holding as much. By the sixth round, it wasn't just the jab. He did land a few left hooks, along with the just pot shots in general from the right hand. And, although Gustavo had some moments, he definitely had some moments in these rounds and especially the seventh, but I still thought the cleaner work was by Hitchens, but so they kind of made some runs, right? Early run by Gustavo, then Richardson came back, I thought did pretty good in the middle, and I mean just pretty good. It wasn't all that impressive, but it is what it is. But the eighth round started to turn the tide again. And Gustavo landing multiple right hands. He landed a pretty good uppercut as well. And, by the eighth round, it's like, how in the fuck is this ref not even warning him for the holding? I mean, we're in the eighth round. I made a note of it. And it's just like, dude, you haven't even said, hey, dude, stop holding? Like, you haven't even warned him? It's crazy, man. I mean, a quick clinch, or when you're really hurt holding, or if someone is, like doing some rough and tumble stuff to you, and you decide to clinch, or you decide to go rough back at them, I can understand some of this stuff, but this was excessive holding, and right off the jump. And so I definitely gave Gustavo the eighth round. Once again, had to give Gustavo the ninth. He had the better round, but just over and over again holding. It was way over the top. Now finally, I mean, his corner, Richardson, was like, "Hey, dude, you got to do something here, man. You have to." And I thought the 10th round that I did give to Hitchens, it was probably the best two-way round of the whole fight. I mean, maybe like it seemed like Hitchens in that round was like standing his ground more, and just a couple flush shots barely, separated himself in there. You did have Lamoz, working the body, crosses to the head and whatnot, but that was the best two-way round. I thought the 11th round was pretty close. You did have Richardson landing some clean jabs, a few right hands, but once again, and he closed strong. That's maybe someone thought he stole that round because he closed strong, but way too much holding again. I thought the pressure and just the better overall lands was definitely Gustavo. And I also wrote on my notes, the cheerleading by Shields. I mean, come on, dude. Like that was pretty over the top. She's like, "You got to do this. You got to do that. You can't be so one sided." And by the way, it wasn't just Shields. I did think they weren't talking about Gustavo enough. I want to give credit because it didn't start good at all for Hitchens, but Richardson did fight better in the middle rounds. Like I said, I gave him the 10th round, gave Gustavo the 11th and the 12th. Early in the 12th round, I thought he landed some. He was landing these quick little combos, like little flurries to the head and body. Mostly to the body, but some to the head. And once again, Richardson mostly moving, mostly holding, wasn't doing a whole lot. So I scored it 6-6, 6-5-1, maybe 7-5. I guess you could go 7-5 either guy, or 6-5-1 either guy. I would have been perfectly fine with the draw. And I could see 7-5 for either guy because, like I said, I have one, two, at least. Yeah, there's for my scorecard, there was two swing rounds. So I mean, you could swing it either way, right? Excuse me. But as I mentioned, not to have one a draw or one scorecard, 115. 113. I really don't know how. Well, I shouldn't say I don't know how, right? Because we see bad scorecards all the freaking time. But the 115, 113, both in favor for Hitchens. I just, like I said, it is one of those fights I would like a rematch. Now, after Richardson, going into this, he talked about how, he was wary of fighting Sabril Matias because of the IBF rehydration clause, right? And nowadays, when fighters can, weigh 15, 20, 25 pounds heading in, to the net, to the fight, it is what it is. You know what I mean? It's legal, so they're getting away with it. I'm not going to sit there and, deduct points from somebody or take away wins because of that, but the IBF, there's There's a lot of people fighting the IBF that they have to do the same thing. So he did kind of blame it on, his performance. Well, on one hand, he was blaming the performance. On the other hand, he was saying it was good ass work, some of the comments was a little like, I don't know if I'd be saying all that, dude. I don't know, man. I just, he said he had a lot of issues. Here's the thing. He said something like, that he was really having problems the day before. He said, I barely ate or drank anything yesterday at the weigh-in and still had to sit in a hot tub the day before the fight just to make weight for the IBF and still put on a performance against a tough fighter. So I barely ate or drank anything yesterday at the weigh-in. Does he mean he means after the weigh-in, obviously? And he said, I still had to sit in a hot tub the day before. I mean, to say you barely ate anything, I don't know about that, Now, I know that you do have to watch how much water you put in your body, but I also know that you can drink a fair amount of water and wake up and be just fine the next day. Now, I'm not talking about, multiple gallons or something like that, but I don't know. I guess he said he's, I've heard him in interviews saying he's, he puts on whatever 15, 18, 20 pounds or whatever. So I don't know. I don't know. It was the scorecards really bugged me in this one, or really that one scorecard. That one. And also Hitchens, like, here's another tweet he had. I outpointed, outboxed that boy for most part. He had some success, but y'all don't know what's boxing, hit and don't get hit. And that's what I did. I don't know, man. And then, a fan was like, beautiful display of the sweet science last night. He said, thanks. It was brilliant, wasn't it? And it's like, brilliant? Like, that was brilliant to you? You really thought that was brilliant? I don't know, man. I wasn't all that impressed, as you can tell. I wish there was a rematch. I don't think he'd fight him again at that IBF. Is he going to go in a different direction then? Obviously, because, he can't be in the IBF then. And why even put yourself in the rankings then? If you can't do it. So I don't know. It's let's actually check really quick. Because I did get a message earlier from this, so I might as well just knock it out right now. So he is second, excuse me, he's second in the WBC. He is not in the WBA. He's third, obviously, in the IBF. And funny enough, there's no one rated at one or two. So, you could have him next. And then he's third in the WBO. So there's other routes, that he can go, clearly. But yeah, I didn't come away, impressed with him. I really didn't. And maybe it was based off he didn't feel right. I think the style definitely bugged him. He did talk about how small the ring was, so that played into that. But anyway, we'll see. Well, I don't think Gustavo lost anything out of this, that's for sure. I really don't think that was the case. So positive for him. And then it's kind of just back to the drawing board. For Richardson, that's the way I look at it. We'll see, we'll see how that goes. And who's next? Because what is this his third fight now with Matchroom? So yeah, it'll be interesting where he goes. Sky Nicholson fought Sarah Mafound or something like that. She dominated the fight. You couldn't really give too many rounds to her opponent. I know that was for, I believe, a vacant belt, if I remember correctly. We'll see if she gets a big fight. Yafaya won as well. Kind of a funky, there was a cut from a headbutt. I know that. I think that was like the fifth round, something like that, sixth round. Kind of a funky stoppage, but it was a good fight for him. I think that, what is he, 6-0 now? 7-0 or something like that. So, that's the thing about this card. It's not that it produced like entertaining, like very entertaining, fights. But they were two-way. And the main event was had its moments of, like being very competitive, had its moments of being a fun fight, but overall, it really wasn't all that great. But the two-way stuff, I can't complain. I've been watching boxing long enough to where if there's a two-way fight, if there's some competitiveness, especially like with guys that are in prospect contender range, you're not going to hear me complain too much about that. Now, I'll complain about, the holding or the scorecard or something like that. But overall, this was a pretty good, good matchmaking with their fighters as far as giving them tests. And like I said, it was a little strange of a stoppage in that one. And because, that Gato dude, I mean, he was still, it just seemed quick, It seemed pretty quick. It seemed a little quick. And the dude, that dude, Augustine, I believe it was, he was landing good hooks and stuff. Like, I thought that was a little premature of a stoppage. But, Yafaya, I believe, what was he, 7-0 or 6-0? Something like that. So, he's a good young fighter. Like I said, that was a good fight for him, too. Moving on to Diego Pacheco and Sean McCallman. McCallman. For a while there, the first two rounds, like, they were pretty slow, especially the first round. And as this fight kind of wore on, it got a little sloppy, that's for sure. A lot of talking, a lot of jawing to the refs. In the second round and throughout the fight, they were both jabbing a fair amount. Second round, both jabbing, but just a few decent lands. I gave McCollum, like, there was a nice left hook. So I thought that's what won the round. So I gave him the first two rounds. Pacheco came out, like, in the first minute, landed a really nice right hand. And then late in that round, like a leaping left hand to the head by McCallman. I don't think it was enough to win the round, though, so I gave it to Pacheco. The fourth round, really slow start. McCallman had his moments a little bit here and there, but the right hands, the jab, and I thought between the jab and the left hook, kind of switching that up by Pacheco, I thought that was pretty effective. And so after that, he did win a series of rounds, the fifth, sixth, and seventh. By the way, Benavidez was drunk as a skunk. I don't even know why they put him on camera. I mean, he had to have known once he started, hey, man, I'm going to interview. Is that cool? And obviously, it's not their fault. That's Benavidez's fault. He was trashed. Did you see him drinking that water? It was like either right before you're about to go to sleep and you're trying to chug water when you're really drunk, or when you wake up. It was bad. It was bad. He was drunk. Now, I know, like, he's kind of lightly in camp, and the heavy training's not for a while, but still, it's not a good look on camera. You do what you got to do, but He even admitted that it was pretty sloppy, as the fight was getting sloppy. Like in the fifth round, there was some early aggression, and then McClellan kind of started holding too much. I don't think Pacheco worked that well with his free hand, though, because he did have a free hand at times. Somewhat competitive rounds, like I said, sixth and seventh, kind of got really sloppy. Both of them landed a couple good shots. There was the seventh round closed with a nice little, back and forth. I think Sergio Mora was like, "This is a slugfest." It's like, well, calm down a bit. Calm down a little bit. And I just thought that the ninth round, right? That was to me, that was a clear, clear winning round. That was probably one of the cleanest rounds from Pacheco. And you could probably give McClellan, he could have stolen that last round. So 7-3, 6-4, that's what I scored at 98, 92, 96, 94, and 97, 93, all in the favor of Pacheco. So in the end, it wasn't the most entertaining card, right? But like I said, I'll always go back to no matter what the, well, I shouldn't say no matter, but almost no matter the style, whether it's a brawl, whether it's kind of up and down where the action's kind of ebbs and flows. As long as these contenders and prospects are getting tested, that's all that really matters to me, as far as a fan. So in that sense, the card was pretty good, I thought, like matchmaking wise. But yeah, the Hitchens, I don't know, man. I really think there should be a rematch. But Richardson did make it through, so we'll see where he goes, like I mentioned. And I really don't think Gustavo, there's really nothing you can, I don't think he hurt himself in that one at all. Like, I think people are gonna like think he won the fight, or at least that scorecard was horrendous, So there was, actually here. This is Benavidez's message. I just want to take this time to apologize to all my fans, to the people that see me last night drunk. I had one too many drinks and made a complete fool of myself. This will never happen again. just be like, you know what? I'm not feeling good. I gotta go or something. But yeah, it was he was trash, dude. He was definitely trash. I'm not gonna lie. And that 154 pound, what is it? The IBF, right? The vacant Mirtazaliyev, or is it Mirtazaliyev? Bakram, right? In Cloquet. Bakram's the guy who, what is it? Three fights he took, step aside, something like that. Two or three fights, step aside. Cloquet, first of all, he was winning the fight. And I mean, he was buzzing, hurting his opponent. It looked like, I mean, it was a great fight. I'll say that. I watched it kind of loosely. I didn't score it round by round and make a bunch of notes because I didn't really have a ton of time when, while that was going on. But you could see he was up. And actually, let me look at the scorecards really quick. 99, 91, 96, 94. I don't think he was up 99, 91, but 96, 94, 96, 95, until the 11th round. And, whoa, hold on. Okay, I'm reading this wrong. This is from Bugs. Okay. So he was up on two of the scorecards. Wow. I'm kind of surprised at that. Wait a second. Like I said, I really should have paid attention to this fight as far as, like, I should have wrote notes, during it. I'm tripping. Huh. I could have sworn, is that the, did I? Hold on. Sorry about this. I know this is a great podcast. Weird. I could have sworn that I thought he was. I could have sworn that the scorecards were different. Because I. Yeah, okay, I'm going to the official ones. 99, 91, 96. Jeez, huh. See, I definitely just watching it had Cloquet up. But either way, Bakumov, I mean, that was awesome. I got it. Like that was a fun ass fight. Very underrated. And I definitely should have I should have scored it to give you a little, a little bit more to it. But that, dude, and it's out there. Anyone that hadn't seen that fight, it is out there. I watched it on Sunday, or no, Monday day, and so I'm assuming it's still up. But that was a hell of a comeback. 11th round, got it done. I mean, that was cool. That was cool. The thing is, Cloquet, dude, he's fought a lot of fighters close, He's been just a solid guy, like against Derevyanchenko. He may start slow, but then he comes on strong. Same with Andrade, Sulecki. He definitely challenged Sulecki. Like, he just has this thing about him. I know who else did he beat? I think he beat Hogan, and but. Yeah, man, that was a good fight. That was a good upset. But that kind of is what I'm going to talk about as far as recap wise. Not going to go in too much detail, beyond what I already did. So, like I said, pretty good card. As far as some competitive fights and getting tests, and I highly doubt that we'll get the rematch with Hitchens, but I'm really interested to see where he goes, because he does, like, if you can't cut off the ring and are not that great of a pressure fighter, like, coming forward's not your thing. And he puts you in the mode to have to come to him. He still has some skill there. No doubt about that. I'm not trying to rip him and act like he's, not a top 10, top 15 fighter or something like that, Not trying to knock him down, but, like a guy like Cruz could give him issues. I mean, a lot of people may laugh at that, but he could give him issues. Now, I'm not saying he, Cruz knocks him out or whatever, but I don't know. Hitchinson has a really good jab, though. I'll give him that. He really does. It's quick, it's accurate, and it pretty much packs a punch. Like, he snaps necks with it. I'm not saying he hurts people left and right with it or nothing like that. So I don't want to sound like I'm completely like hating on the guy, but the way he fought. It's like I'm not the guy that just says just entertain me and that's it, but he just held so much in that fight. Anyway, we do have Angelo Leo and Eduardo Baez fighting on a card, a pro box card. Someone I actually saw on Twitter that they have Baez like a huge favorite. Let me see here. Oh, plus six, huh? I mean, I think Leo's gonna win the fight. I think stylistically, it'll be a fun fight to watch. But right now, FanDuel has him a +640. That seems. I'm not saying like stop. I mentioned I thought the odds were a little high for Gustavo last week. And I did put a little something on it, so maybe that's why I'm bitter. No, but I think it's a little high. But either way, I do like that. It's kind of like that mid-level fight. And I'm a big fan of mid-level fights, I really like them. And it's cool that, there's a lot of them on Pro Box. So that's tomorrow, Wednesday, of course. And then we have a Jong Bae in that Guido dude, Vianello. Efe Ajaba should just jab and be able to pot shot him pretty much. Pretty much he should be able to handle that. I don't see that being a major issue. Not that I think he's just gonna whitewash him or something like that. And like I said, the top two fights, are like heavyweight fights. So that's kind of cool. I like when, and are they going to, we've talked about this, John and I, a couple times now. Okay, man, you got some heavyweights, right? Top rank. All right. Well, is this gonna lead to that then? And it's been what, three fights or something since Guido got knocked, that got TKO'd against the Johnny Rice. Am I right about that? Something like that. So yeah, I like FA in this one. Like I said, that jab, the big right hand, I think it may take a little bit, and this would be, I believe, his fourth or fifth fight since losing a little while back now to Frank Sanchez. But I like the fight. I think it's a pretty good fight. And hopefully, they match up the winners. So, like I said, I got FA. I think I'm going to say late stoppage, but sometimes he won't put the pedal to the metal, or sometimes he's just too wide with that right hand and he'll be trying to land bombs rather than score points. So I could see it going the distance potentially, but I am going knockout. That's my official prediction. And then Jared Anderson, back, obviously outside of the ring, he had a little issue there, which is still like crazy to me. He's taking on, is it Murray? I think it's called. I think he's called. I said it. He's the guy who, like, late last year, either like November or December, he beat Tony Yoka, right? He also, the fight before that, lost fairly cleanly to a pretty mediocre fighter. Doesn't really have, that many quality. He doesn't really have a quality wins. You know what I mean? He did get beat a chunk of years ago by that Arsene, I think his name is the first name. It's a dude who Gilberto just fought. So yeah, I'm looking at it right now. 2018. So, Tony Yoka, I don't really like as a pro, I mean, those two losses he had before he lost to this dude, they were respectable losses. I'm not trying to take away anything from this dude, but where he's been, I think this is a good fight for Jared though. Especially if they match up the winners. I hate to keep saying that, but they need to do that, The Charles Martin fight was probably his best, fight, right? It was his best fight as far as not his best performance, but his best test. And if he gets through this one, had some shaky moments against Martin two separate times in that fight. Fought Arias, Forrest, a couple other decent fighters, but I would really hope that they're looking to match, the winners. And so I think Jared Anderson will beat him. But I don't know. Trying to think. Will this go the distance? Kind of back and forth on that one. My gut kind of tells me that it's going to go the distance. So I'm going to go with my gut. this is in Corpus Christi, I believe. So, hopefully there's some competitive rounds. I think both fighters, the B sides, I guess you could say, have a chance to make it competitive, especially in the main event, for a while anyway. You also have Ruben Valle on the other card against Chacon. Abdul Mason, he's fighting as well. One of the best, prospects in the game, period. I mean, definitely a force to be reckoned with, it appears. Let's see here. Yeah, both of them are kind of right around the same odds, the B sides, +480. Okay, they both have some +400s. BetMGM up to +600. So, I think most of the A sides will win in this one. I don't think I'm stepping too far out on the limb there. I would say the fight I'm looking forward most to on the hardcore level is definitely Jordan Gill and Zeffa Barrett. Gill is a slight favorite, I would assume. I think it's under 200. This is just a good fight to me, he's coming off, that Gill's coming off a nice win somewhat, a handful of months ago against Conlon. Now, Kiko did get him, right? And I'm not trying to go over the top with this one. Barrett, he had a pretty good fight, I thought, against, because it was back and forth against Rachmanov. I think he knocked him down like in the second or third round. And I thought that was a really fun fight to watch. Then he ended up getting knocked down, I believe, two times and stopped in that round. So that was a really good fight. So I'm actually looking forward to this one. I think Barrett will win, but to me, it's one that I'm not all the way ready to call it 100% for him. I'm looking at the odds right now. So yeah, anywhere from like a +160, +163, all the way to a +174. So Gil's a live dog in there. So I just think it's gonna be a fun fight. On paper, that's definitely like the closest fight. You have Ellie Skotny. She's fighting on the card as well, unbeaten fighter, taking on another unbeaten fighter. I would say like her opponent just I remember kind of looking into this, and her opponent really doesn't. It's like a, was it one or two knockouts or something like that? She's 18-0, but yeah, she has one knockout. And of course, I get it. She's been the distance a fair amount of times, and I get it. It's not like you have women who have a ton of knockouts, right? But she's been like the 10-round distance, like, quite a long time. So I guess I could definitely see her. And to be fair, Ellie doesn't have a knockout either. So this could go the distance. I'm seeing more of a, like a one-sided fight on that. And, maybe some fights will pop off on the undercard and it'll turn out to be, a good card. You never know, right? You never know. So, not the greatest weekend, but sometimes I always like to remind folks that sometimes when you think, there's not really much going on, right? Even that Lamone's fight. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I didn't call for the upset, so I'm not gonna bullshit you, but I did say I thought it was too high in odds. And that turned out to be a damn good. You could have given Gustavo the win. I wouldn't blink an eye if you gave him the win. 7-5 either way. Like I said, I would have, rather had a draw there, but sometimes these weekends, man, they sneak up and you bite you and we get a major upset or shit, even that 154-pound fight. That was a fun fight to watch. So yeah, that's about it. We're gonna get into some fight news and boxing, Twitter and all that good stuff. I'm looking at boxing scene. Lance Pugmire. Isak Cruz rides Pitbull Mania into scheduled August title defense. So that's up, according to Sean Gibbons, Cruz's manager, who was on a Mexican television network's Televisa and TV Azteca. He says, down here, it's not Beatlemania, it's Pitbull Media. People are writing songs for him, creating murals for him. It's something. That's pretty dope. And like I said, last week, that crowd was completely apeshit for him. But he said, basically, they've learned, he and Gibbons learned that they have a blessing of, they have the blessing of Premier Boxing Champions and, Southern California based TGB Promotions to stage an early August card where he'll be the headliner. The opponent's not finalized. The likely designation is Las Vegas. I thought they'd do California, to be honest with you. And then it says, then he says, December is perfect. We're not chasing tank now that we have won the belt, but everywhere we go, everybody wants that fight. And my guess is because he took, a minor risk going up or whatever. He was the favorite, though, obviously against Rowley. But he said, in December they're looking for a bigger fight too, because they were talking about, Gervonta or whoever else. Whether it's, Haney or Matias or Lopez or whatever. I'm going to talk a little bit about Eddie Hearn wanting to make the Matias fight as long as he gets through his next fight. And he said December's perfect, so fight in August, December. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, so, like I said, we did have two different fights, Canelo Munguia and Haney Garcia announce undercards. So I think in both these fights, I have to admit that I did not think that we'd get like some sort of great undercard, like on paper. I just didn't, I just didn't see it. There's just so much money in the main event. Now, Canelo and Munguia, I do think that's going to sell. Both of them are going to sell some pay-per-views. There's no doubt about that. But, I just kind of assumed that we weren't really going to get some kind of great co-feature, I just didn't. I thought there'd be too much money on the top. And I'll get into the Haney Garcia. I think there is a one really good fight there. And that's not to say these can't be good fights like Gabriel Maestre, the guy who had a lot of things go right for him here in Minneapolis a couple years back. If folks remember that was pretty ugly. The WBA, like, sure had influence on that one. But to his credit, he did just stop Marshall. So I'd say on paper, and Stanonius is fighting him. Stanonius needs a fight, right? Early last year, he got sick, right? Had his, like, his appendix, right? Not sick, but his appendix had to come out, right? And then obviously the Virgil Ortiz, that whole fight, it got delayed. It got delayed. Then he was off. It just sucks for him. It's been a long time since he's in the ring. So much, oops, much like some other guys on this card, they need to get out. Barrios, it was rumored he was going to fight Ennis. Then he said he needs a little time. Steven Espinoza was the one who said that because Boots is having problems there, getting a fight. But the Stanonius Maestre, I don't mind that fight. Like I said, he got really lucky and then had a draw, I believe, right after it too. So for Stanonius, it's been a long time since he's fought. So he just needs to get in the ring and just, fight. So that's fine with me. No, so I don't mind that fight at all, actually. I think that might be the thing about this card is none of these fights are like, dude, that's going to be great. But from an entertainment standpoint, there is some possibilities here. I think that's what they're looking for of just, hey, that was a good action fight. Hey, that was a good action fight, that type of thing. Now the other Mario Barros is fighting Maidana's brother, Fabian, right? The Argentine, he recently had like an okay performance to close the year. I mean, it was one-sided against, Israel Lopez. But to me, we kind of already see where he's at. I do remember looking at his resume right now. I remember that Klimov fight. And, early on, I thought, huh, I wonder what's going on with this guy. But to me, this is just, once again, could it be a fun fight to watch? Sure. But Barrios is going to win this fight. Then you have Brandon Figueroa. For a while there, it appeared that he was going to get the Ray Vargas fight. Ray Vargas got paid to go fight Nick Ball. And so, this is one of those fights where you're like, well, whatever. Like, he's coming off a fight last year where it was Ford, I believe. Let me look it up just to make sure it was Ford. I don't think he's had a fight since. No, he hasn't. So, Ray Ford, who's a solid ass fighter, obviously, really took care of him, but he, to his credit, Magdaleno's definitely gave us some entertaining fights over the years. But once again, I just don't, Figueroa is all action. Brandon Figueroa is all action. So, I could see this one being just, oh, that was a good 6 rounds. Oh, that was a good 4 rounds. Oh, that actually was a better fight than I thought. I just don't really think much of the card. And I just think that it's a budget thing. Because of the top part of the card, obviously with Canelo Munguia, so it's underwhelming, no doubt. But it's not surprising. Let's put it that way. And they have some good style matchups. They have some young Mexican Americans on the cards. So that makes sense. Figueroa will probably be led into a big fight, same with Barrios, same with all these guys. So yeah, it's not, I'm not gonna sit here and praise it like it's, some kind of great card. Now who knows, look, I never, I'll never fully judge something until I see it in the ring. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, it's not something, that's I'm looking forward to per se, but It is what it is. We did have, well, two items when it comes to the Haney Garcia, right? There were some work, I know there was some workouts today and whatnot. So they dropped the ticket prices. As we know, the tickets have been, they were way overpriced. So now the lower levels have been flexed fairly low. And the upper decks are more in line for from what they should be. Now I did kind of forget Kermell Moten will probably be, well, he's gonna be on that Canelo undercard too. So my guess is since this is the undercard for the pay-per-view, they'll put him on the prelims. So, and I thought he'd come back in June or July, to be honest with you. I didn't think he'd come right back because he fought a tough eight rounder. So that's cool. That's they're keeping him busy, man. I like that. And this is when you want to be really busy. I mean, of course you want to stay active and everything, but this is where you want to be busy when you're young like this, right? Because that's how you keep learning and whatnot. So yeah, they dropped the prices, which has been needed. So hopefully a lot of a lot of folks that actually attend these fights, especially in Vegas. Vegas is known for dropping prices late, right? And the hardcores will wait and then snatch them. So hopefully enough New Yorkers and just boxing in the no matter who goes there, right, to go watch the fight. Hopefully they snatch some of these up, man. And so this is Fred talking about the tickets. Tickets for Haney Garcia have seen the biggest price cut yet, as the majority of lower bowl tickets have been reduced to 250 to 300. I saw some 350s too. Weirdly, not the direct east-west sections that remain 757. That is true. Like, he makes a good point when you check them out. Some right by each other. It's going to be harder to sell certain tickets that they didn't, drop enough, and you can get a similar ticket for much cheaper. So we'll see how that goes. Barboza is on the undercard, against Sean McCone, Sean Puffy McCone. No, I mean Sean McCone. So, it is what it is there. So I am like going back to that though. I am glad, that they dropped the prices. You know what I mean? Because it was needed. It was needed that they're clearly overpriced. And I definitely, it's such a good, fight for Haney for name recognitions, and so we'll see. But Beck is on the undercard. So Barboza, Beck's on the undercard. What else we got? So Beck's fighting the middleweight. He's taking on Pierre Dembombe, something like that. This is the one that, oh, then Charles Conway is going against the Gallimore. Now, Gallimore has seen better days. I think it's, is it a 10 rounder, I believe? But I'm just, it's, I'm glad to see, I'm glad to see him get out. That's what I'm glad to see. Now, this isn't official. This isn't official. But because it's not 100% official, but it is nice to see Conwell on there. And then the one fight I'd say is probably the best out of both these cards that we're talking about for the undercard is Scrappy Ramirez going against Jimenez, David Jimenez. And I think it's for like, I want to say it's either a vacant or an interim flyweight, if I remember correctly. I like that fight. I think that's going to be a good fight. So to me, that kind of steals the show on the undercard on the paper. We'll see, and it's a really good, like, it's a good step up for Scrappy, and Scrappy, get scrappy. I do like Scrappy. I think I like how they've moved him. Like I said, he doesn't have a lot of fights. So to me, I think that's probably the best fight out of both. Was it two fights ago against Diaz? I think it was Fernando Diaz. He came off that Padilla fight, looking super good in that fight, like really good. And had a tough outing against Diaz. That was like almost a year ago, something like that. So to me, I like that. I like those fights. I think that's a good fight. So, and I don't remember, is there four or f I think there might be five fights on that card, including the main event, of course. But yeah, I am glad, like I said, the ticket prices were gonna come down. Let's just see how further they come down. But yeah, that part of it's cool. That part of it's cool. And yeah, a lot of people asking, what's up with Boots? We talked about, I think 2 weeks ago, that they may be planning a card for him just straight up. Like on the just the Amazon fights, not on pay-per-view. We did hear something about that. I never got like a clear, message about that one or something. I never got a clear, like, oh yeah, this is happening type thing. So I can't confirm it or nothing like that. Whether that was just, I heard a little talking about it, but I'm not sure. Maybe they'll put him on an undercard. Not, I'm just being honest. I have no inside information on that one at all. It would be cool to have him in full. I don't, I'm not sure if they're fighting in Philly. That's, nothing like that. I don't know about that. I wouldn't doubt if, like, how soon can they make that Danny Garcia Arislandi Lara fight? Can they make it in the summer? I know he just fought, but he didn't really fight, much in that fight, Arislandi. So, and it sounded like they were gonna, like, that fight was pretty much made, but then the Mando popped up. So if you put Fulton and you put Boots on that undercard, that would be bomb. Now don't go making Danny Garcia and Arislandi Lara, a pay-per-view. But to have that at the Barclays or something, if they could figure that out, that'd be dope. I would definitely be happy at that. I would definitely be happy with that. So let's see. I got this message about how many champions does Mexico have right now? Straight up champions or interim champions. And you have Rey Martinez. Well, yeah, you have Rey Martinez, you have Estrada, you have, well, the Quattros, I think, is the interim. Yeah, Espinoza. You have Vargas. You have 126 Lopez. You have Valdez. That's an interim too. Navarrete, he's about to get a vacant, but he had one. Pitbull, of course, Canelo, and then Zerto. So, however many that is, okay. And then, we talked last week about Samson and how he was, at the time when I did the show, I didn't have the information, like, double checked about Fundora and about Tim Tszyu, as far as, their injuries. But that is, as you know now, per the Nevada Commission. Both Tim Zoo and Fedora are expected, both took a, or wait, as expected, or both took a medical suspension. Got a medical suspension. Fedora 6 months due to the nose injury. And obviously we know his too. So we know Tim Zeus. So, you know, to me, that really does line up a rematch, obviously. So Tim Zoo can actually be more, he could be more active. Fedora must follow up with the no contest. So he can't start. Okay, so September 27th. And the minimum suspension, no contest until 5:15. No contact for almost a month. So hopefully the fact that they both had, you know, injuries and whatnot, hopefully, you know, hopefully that means we get the rematch. That's what I'm hoping. But we don't know. Maybe Tim Zoo will fight somebody. I don't know. Tough to say. But yeah, Boots, you know, there was rumors that he was gonna fight Cody Crowley, and there was rumors about purse bid, then not a purse bid, and all of a sudden we hear All Star Boxing, someone's Mauricio Soma from France has won the bid and the rights to promote the Final Eliminator in the welterweight division. This is WBC. Crowley versus Kisiko. So, you know, he's definitely going the route of the WBC. Kind of sucks, but like I said, hopefully they have something for him. There is some news. This is according to RTE. I've heard this in a couple different places. A lot of it's from Eddie. That the Taylor, Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano rematch is reportedly expected to take place in the Sphere in Las Vegas in early June. Would be the first combat sports event at the new venue. And, you know, I don't know if that's 100% true. I'll just be honest. I really don't. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. That'd be cool, though. It seems, you know, it's definitely a cool, you know, cool venue. That's for sure. So there's been a lot of talk about, and I'm gonna go over the messages I got and whatnot too. But there's been a lot of talk about this Adam Azim and Dalton Smith stuff over there. A lot of it's coming from Eddie and, you know, Matchroom and Boxer, you know, Ben Shalom and Eddie Hearn have been kind of going back and forth. And, you know, there's been some fights they could have made, multiple, several fights, really, that could have been made that didn't get made. And, you know, Eddie's getting fed up. Now, I think some of it is when they made a fight, Wardley and Clark, that, you know, he wanted to make, and then it got made outside of him, you know? So he, I think it's the name thing that's bugging. Like, if you didn't want the fight, cool, but you know, don't act like you want the belt because, or you know, that you want the fight. Because Eddie Hearn confirmed, I think it was on IFL TV and you know a host of other places that you know he vacated the you know the EBU, so it's really not that big of a deal. Sounds like he's gonna fight Harlem Eubank, which makes sense. To be honest with you, Eddie just, you know, his basically his complaint was like, dude, don't make it sound like you're going to. You know what I mean? So Hearn is actually from Matchroom said, you can sugarcoat what you want. He basically ducked Dalton Smith, right? And like I said, I think the using of the name is what was bugging him. But he's done that too. Every promoter does that. And to be honest with you, they're not on the same level right now. Dalton Smith is more proven. He should be looking for bigger fights anyway. And they can always revisit this fight, you know? So I think it's a good move. I can kind of see what Eddie's saying, though. This is a quote from him talking about, you know, Ben Shalom. You could talk about it. We're a victim of the game. They don't want to work with us. It's absolutely rubbish. When Fabio Wardley versus Frazier Clark got ordered, they pulled out. They just done it again with Azeem and Smith. They did it with that Richard Ricapori or whatever against the Opatia Dubois fight. He mentioned a bunch. Now it's Chev Clark is the mandatory for Isaac Chamberlain, and they won't even mention his name. Now this is where it's like, okay, dude, I don't agree with this because he's like, you're seeing the benefit to boxing of Matchroom and Queensberry working together, 5 brilliant fights. And 5 brilliant fights there, and everyone, they haven't been willing. So I get that part. You know, I get that part of it. But the whole Matchroom and Queensberry working together, let's not sugarcoat that. You know, we know why that's happening. So I don't know. You know, I do get what Eddie's saying there, but I just don't. And Shalom on Talk Sports said, you know, let's have a face-to-face. Let's make some fights. Let's sit down, you know. Whether he's actually meaning that or not, you know. This is actually what he said. He said his explanation for, you know, Smith and Azeem not happening. Look at the Wardley and Clark situation, the amount of grief and scrutiny for that decision. Grueling fight, 12 rounds. Thank God Clark had a bit more experience in the same way. You know, he's saying Clark and Azeem, Azeem needs it, you know. He needs more experience. We have to create a superstar. Do we choose Smith or Eubank? Smith is a tougher fight. I think at this stage in his career, it would be the wrong decision. I'm not saying he wouldn't win, but in 3 or 4 fights, as we've seen with Wardley Clark, both fighters are earning much more. It's a much bigger fight. Fighting Eubank Jr. makes, you know, makes sense. Not looking down and a profile sense, in fighting a very tough fight very early on in his career. Jordan Thompson was a slung in versus Opatia, and you know, look at what that's done to his career. Blah blah blah. So, and I can see that side too. I just don't think it's ready, you know. Speaking of Eddie Hearn talking about a fight, he was talking about he wants to do the Isaac Cruz Abreu Matias as long as Matias gets through his next fight coming up in June. But it's kind of interesting because he's like, let's make it a co-promotion between Amazon and DAZN. And he tried to say, just like, you know, the Garcia Tank, which it wasn't a co-promotion, and the Canelo Munguia. That's not a co-promotion. It just. They can sell the pay-per-view. They can be one of the distributors. It's kind of like Fight TV, right? The old Fight TV. I think it's whatever, Triller now, Triller TV. It's just like pay-per-view.com. They're going to get a percentage of the revenue, but it's not a co-promotion. So the thing about, like, I think Matias, don't get me wrong, Cruz and Matias is the shit. That's a great fight. I would favor Matias, but it's a brawl, right? But it's not a co-promotion, dude. Like, it's not big enough to be a co-promotion, and clearly, it's not even close. Who's the A side here? So, once again, if you want to make these fights, the way, and the media won't fight back, you know, not like they got to go fight them, but. It's just that fight's not going to get made as a co-promotion, dude. Clearly, Cruz is the main event A side. He's the A side. Did you hear these last hand, ever since the Tank fight, did you hear the audience? Did you hear the audience in this last one? He's the A side, dude. And there's a lot of ways to bring up folks. And like I said, I like Matias in the fight. I think he'd win. I'm not saying, but Why don't you, if you really want to make that fight, first of all, let Matias win first. He's fighting a solid fighter. Going home, right, to Puerto Rico. That's dope. Then match him up and bring him to Amazon Prime. Not this co-promote. Like, I like co-promotions, but they have to be for the right fight. This is not the right fight. He's the clear B-side, dude. And so if he wants to make that fight, dude, make it, man, because I think that's a risk for you to take. That's smart. Like, that's a very smart risk to go over there. I'm not saying it's like a super risky fight or whatever. I'm saying, like, if you're going to risk bringing a guy over to Amazon at the PBC and having him fight on that, it's not like you can't promote it, right? Like, being, talk about it, whatever, but it's just not big enough to be a co-promotion. That's it. And he knows that. He knows that. So I'll say it again. I like Matias in the fight, okay? But if it to go, if you want to promote Matias, like Coppinger was saying, now that's promoting because he's taking him back to Puerto Rico, right? That's what a promoter should do. Clear shot at PBC and Top Rank, whatever. Cool. I'm glad he's going back to Puerto Rico. I think it is dope. But if you really want to get a profile fight for your fighter, Eddie, let him go to PBC in the Amazon. And it will be a fucking war. I'm not saying they'd even take the fight. That's not what I'm saying. Okay. I don't think, I think it's Barroso's next, dude, And then they're going to look to close out the year, kind of like they said. But I don't know. I just don't think it's not a big enough fight to co-promote. Anthony Joshua to J. Ross Show, at J. Ross Show. Anthony Joshua has revealed that he's been told his next fight will be in September. He also mentioned on that same show, he declared that he's planning to retire from boxing in 2 years after he turns 37 years old in 2026. I've always said 35. I'm 35 in October, and I'm thinking another 2 years or so if my body holds up. So that's cool. Obviously, if it'd be a huge fight next, especially if, Tyson Fury, wins. Okay, so there's a rumor going around that Terrence Crawford has Saudi money available to him. And that's the only way I could see him fight Kelly, right? Josh Kelly, Machine Gun Kelly. And I'm talking about the 1930s one, not the new one. That's the only way that I could see that fight. And we don't know 100% what the WBO is going to do. But if there is some Saudi money, they'll definitely strip Fandora. You know what I mean? Because why not go get that money if Fandora's not going to fight for a while? You know what I mean? So we'll see. We will definitely see how that plays out. All right. I'm really excited for this fight until the bell rings. The press conference, hopefully it lives up to it. May 31st. If you're standing, sit down. You're gonna want to hear this. May 31st, Adrian Broner and Blair the Flair Cobsey. Oh my God. And I don't even gotta say the network because everybody knows what it is, baby. I mean, what the fuck, dude? That's a perfect fight to make at that. It's a mid-level fight. I think they're are they gonna put that bitch on pay-per-view, dude? Oh my goodness. But yeah, I'll say this. That's a good ass fight, dude. Just because. Dan the Man's talking about Jesus Ramos fight announcement coming soon. We've heard the rumor, and he puts it in there in the tweet. Kevin Salgado. Salgado against Ramos, sign me up. That's a good fight for him. Diego Pacheco. This is what he said. Berlanga was kind of talking shit. He thinks he's the best 168. He says, Berlanga, see me next. You're easy work. I'm not with this back and forth on Twitter shit. Eddie Hearn, I've been wanting this fight. Let's make it happen next anywhere whenever. That would be a good fight for Pacheco. Teofimo Lopez. All these other fighters are booked for fights and to be the real, oh wait, and to be the real 140 division is, oh, to be real. Sorry. The 140 pound division is not stacked as you make it seem. I told myself and told Top Rank I will fight three or four times a year. Everyone just wants me to take on the hardest fights so the rest can have the easy route. Okay. Sure. Haney got in on the Isak Cruz stuff too, as far as unification. I like when guys call me out because it makes good fights to happen if he's really serious. That's a fight I'll explore once I'm victorious versus Ryan Garcia April 20th. It wouldn't be no different. I would make him look mediocre like I do these guys. It's not easy. I just make him look that way. Well, not on Lomachenko, but yeah, I hear you. Eddie Hearn had a. So I got two messages off of one interview, him and his pops on Piers Morgan. One of them is, this is funny. I'm sure you do wish this, Eddie. I'm sure all these promoters wish this. I wish our government, talking about, you know, England, I wish our government would invest in the sport the way Saudi Arabia invests in the sport. Well, no shit, dude. Of course you do. Come on, dog. I think it's a different, it's different, dude. Like, that's just funny to me. And then another one. Here we go. And so this dude said, in the message, he's like, I support this. Every government should do what Saudi's doing. There's a lot going on in a lot of places. And I got to admit, like, I'd rather than address what's going on than put money towards boxing. I've got to admit. And he also said that the Fury Joshua fight is the biggest fight ever. Biggest financial fight. And this dude said numbers don't lie. He said, you're talking north of $100 million for each guy. Well, we've seen it's not the biggest fight ever. Because, come on, $100 million for both. Okay, cool. But there is one fight that comes to mind. But, you know, it is what it is. Now, I did see a lot of people talking about Jim Lampley, saying, you know, the reason he's not a friends with Al Haymon. So that's why he didn't get the fight or get the fight, get to be on the broadcast team. And he said they went with Mauro because he's a friend of Al Haymon's. Steven Espinosa said that they've never met or spoken to each other. The suggestion that Ronaldo was hired because his Heyman's friend is absurd. Now, I'm not huge on Mauro, to be honest. I think he's okay, but I'm not a big fan of him. But for Lampley to go there is kind of funny, dude, because it's like, do you remember the monologue? I wish I had that queued up. Do you remember the monologue you had on PBC, dude? Saying it's not a, they're going to basically be done. And this was like 2016. They're going to be done. Because remember, it was like on the boxing game or whatever the hell that show was. He's like, they're done. They're out of money. And you could see this coming. And he had a big monologue of how they fucked up. So, yeah. Dude. By the way, this is Barbosa Box. He says, Pumita Martinez and Kazuta Ioka, unification. June or July in Japan. Hell yeah. That weight class is popping off again. Ronda Rousey. I know that, like, I'm the greatest fighter that has ever lived. That's a quote of hers. Because she said, she said that once she basically got knocked out, like, she came into the first fight, like, she was concussed. Before she got concussed, she said she was concussed. So, basically, she came in there brittle, like, used goods. And so she blamed that on why she was getting knocked out. So, you tell me. Okay, Shakur Stevenson, most duck fighter in the sport, and it's not even debatable. He also said something like, if I would have trained him, he would have knocked that dude out. I think he was talking about Hitchens. Come on, really? So you know how to knock these dudes out, huh? Shakur said also, take one of them big name fighters off and put my name in the mix in New York City. Remember I said this, that motherfucker would sell out. Haney Stevenson, Garcia Stevenson. You know, it's the ticket prices, dog. It's not either one of those fighters. It is the ticket prices. Here's some more boxing Twitter stuff. Fedora has finally reached the big time. Big time politics will not allow him to face the fighter he wants in Bud. He's being told that he must fight Spence. Give him a shot. Unfortunately, he must do as he's told, or he'll lose out on life-changing money. WBC could do better. You know, let's not forget politics is the reason why he got a fight with Tim. See, I think people kind of like forget that. So if you're going to blame politics, okay, cool. But didn't politics get him the fight then? So it's like everyone's saying Fundora, not everyone, but a lot of people are saying, and it's really just anti-PBC crowd that, you know, he's getting screwed. Fedor's getting screwed because he can't fight Bud. But it's like, well, he didn't get screwed to get the Tim Tszyu fight, I'll tell you that. Sebastian, and this is another hater, Sebastian Fedor will vacate the WBO as his team has said Tim Tszyu Tim Tszyu will not be ready to fight until the fall. And it's actually Fedor as well, allowing Fedor to return by the summer against Spence. So that's not going to happen. This is Drewski. Crawford fans upset about Errol Spence Jr. possibly skipping the line at 54, but forgot Crawford holding 3-4 belts hostage at 47 and won't even look at Jared Ennis. Yeah, I mean, like I said, if he wants to just be active and fight Saudi and fight Kelly and then look for a big fight at 154. I can't blame him, you know. But, you know, if he's looking to fight, yeah, Ennis is a would be good. But it, you know, it's one of those, you know, are they going to pay for that one? Is that the one they're going to pay for? Or are they going to do this WBO thing? I don't even know. I don't even know if the Saudi thing's like real. But we'll see. Here's another one, Hooked on Boxing. The only reason why they took Keith Thurman out and put Sebastian Fedora in for Tim Tszyu is because they wanted to put as much punishment on Tim Tszyu so he could be weakened by the time he fights Spencer Crawford. The same thing happened to Manny Pacquiao when they took Spence out and put Ugas in. We know Al Haymon. We know what he's up to. Oh, man. It's just so funny sometimes. At this point, I don't give a F who Boots fights next. We got to get him back in the ring ASAP. It's crazy how he couldn't get a fight with Barrios, Stanonius, and Crawley. Yeah, like I said, it does suck, man. He's got to get a fight. He's got to get in the ring, no doubt about it. He obviously should be good to go. Okay, this is from De La Hoya. He was talking about Canelo and loyalty and whatnot. He said, I mean, come on. Who in the hell is unloyal one here? Jumping from promoter to promoter, network to network. Who's the unfaithful one here? Who's the disloyal one? And have I received a thank you? Never. When I got it the biggest deal of his life, did I receive a thank you? Never. So who's the disloyal one? Of course, blah blah blah. I mean, this is just and nobody backed him up. Just like this is the media's issue too. When he says like, who's the disloyal one? Well, first of all, or who's the loyal one, right? He's not loyal. Well, dude, first of all, he was loyal to you. He stayed with you, and you did get the biggest deal he had at that point. No doubt about it. But what did you do when you gave him that biggest deal? You signed a contract, allegedly, as far as what the lawsuit was going to be about, that got him off Golovkoi, right? They released him. And allegedly, the lawsuit that Canelo filed said, you told me I had final approval and you signed something else. Golden Boy, Oscar signed something else with DAZN saying, actually, you guys have it. And the reason why I personally believe it, we could say it's alleged, but the reason why I personally believe it is because the information came out as to who they were willing to give that large guarantee, the fights. And it was like McGregor and, of course, the Golovkin three fight and stuff like that. So it was like, so if he would have fought McGregor, he could have got his guarantee. So I did believe that. Whether it's true or not, it is alleged technically because they didn't, he filed a lawsuit, but we never got an actual answer of it. But it sounds like it was true. So you were the one who went behind his back, dude. So I don't know. But someone sent me that message. I think that's about it. I think that'll wrap it up. So, like I said, sometimes, man, these weekends can just pop off, and I'm really hoping that's the case. So enjoy the fights. Definitely be back next week, Pete.